googly covers of Eurovision songs. It's some gala concert in Hong Kong.
Isn't there a Gaysian vision? Isn't there a...
There is. The nearest... They've tried doing Asia vision a couple times, but the promoter went broke the first time. And then nothing ever happened the second time.
Because there was the Aussie, you know, the...
Australasian.
Oceanic.
The promoter went broke.
Right.
So nothing happened. So the nearest equivalent is the ABU Song Festival.
Which is what?
Which is, it doesn't have the same zing as Eurovision.
No, it doesn't. And it's not competitive. So it's just, it's only 2 years in, but it's just an annual showcase of artists from Korea and Hong Kong and Taiwan.
That sounds like shit.
So it's like the APRA Awards. No one actually gets anything.
No one actually gets anything. And this year, Australia was represented by Justice Crew.
Oh, I love Justice Crew. They're properly Christian.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
They should have prayed harder because they did a fairly bad job.
They're
obviously God is Buddhist.
I did a gig with them once because they're Adelaide based. I think they're Hillsong.
Yeah, sounds right.
I did a gig with them. I did the Fruit Chock Singles Ball.
Wait, is that a gay thing?
No, Fruit Chocks is an Adelaide thing.
Oh, right.
You can get them at Coles, but they're just called apricot chocolate balls.
Oh, okay, right. Because I just thought I'd been to the doctor with a case of Fruit Chocks.
Sorry for all this noise. I'm fiddling with the OB, man. This is the Poofcast.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes.
This is Poofcast 119.
Are we still counting?
Yeah, we're still counting.
Okay.
This is our Eurovision special edition. So this is going to go for probably 2 hours.
This is going to go until next Eurovision.
I'm going to press play, and Eurovision songs will just come on, and they'll play underneath us the entire time.
Great.
Wow.
So
should we just maybe just clarify our roles in this? Because I don't know a single fucking thing of Eurovision. Okay? Now, I like to say that I'm just being the voice from the street, but it's actually that I'm really unprepared.
Right. That's fine. I've been preparing for this podcast entire life.
Yeah,
Toby knows too much.
Yeah.
And I know a little bit. And the only reason I said, do you guys want to hang out, is because I did a spot on the Gold Coast ABC local radio. Where my friend is a producer. And I thought, oh my God, that is the perfect synergy. Gold Coast and Eurovision.
Oh. Yes.
They do kind of belong together.
They
don't
do.
They wear equal amounts of white clothing.
Yes. And I thought, you know what? Like, I've done all this research and it's only you know, AM radio, you get to talk for like 15 minutes. So it was a decent whack.
While you wait for pensioners to ring up and complain about something.
And, I played like a whole chunks of songs and stuff.
Yeah.
But now I thought, well, now I've written all this stuff and I have strong opinions about songs such as this one, which is TikTok.
Yep, Ukraine. Oh. Ukrainian hamster wheel, TikTok.
Oh, yes, the performance was amazing.
What hamster wheel?
We should just clarify, this is the Saturday afternoon of Eurovision.
We've seen one semi-final.
We've seen the first semi-final. Yes. The second semi-final has happened in life.
Yes.
But we haven't seen that broadcast in Australia yet. Some people are really...
They do broadcast it live on SBS. You can get up at 4 o'clock in the
morning. Yeah, you can.
Watch it.
And you will, won't you?
I like to watch it with friends. I don't to. Right. Some people I know will get up. There's a group of fans in Sydney I know who will get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for the
fans
national
with
finals.
An
N. Yeah, right. Yeah, and they'll watch it live on the internet at 4 o'clock in the morning. Some of even the national finals. I don't like doing that. I just like watching it on the broadcast.
So the TikTok, she's not a very good singer.
Right.
And the people of Ukraine obviously knew that.
Yep.
So they put a man in a hamster wheel behind her, just running.
It sounds like Club 80. Oh, wow.
Tick Club 80 reference.
Yeah, tick.
Yeah, he's just kind of rolling around inside the wheel. It's kind of reminiscent a bit of, I find, of Farid Mamadov last year from Azerbaijan.
Here we go.
This is the bit where we just fade out and come back later.
The guy in the box.
Yeah.
And he was doing the mirror shapes in the box.
Ah, yes.
And remember Dima Bilan had the woman that came out of the piano.
Out of the piano doing in 2006.
Yeah, there was a love heart made out of petals on the piano and then someone came out of it.
Oh, wow.
Which implied that the piano was fake. fake.
Yeah.
Yeah. He implied the piano was fake.
Wow. And if me, that's the greatest crime during Eurovision.
He was not very good because they had to dress up his performance with a lady coming out of the piano.
There was quite a lot of that last night, actually. There was quite a lot of things tended to veer towards one of two extremes. One was the purity of the song, just let the singer stand there and sing it. Yeah. And the other one was, this is a huge piece of shit, let's put as much dancing baloney around it as possible. But maybe no one will notice.
Look, I didn't see the Eurovision last night.
Right.
But I feel like the last few years they've lost that like totally kind of weird song. They've lost that. There hasn't been that kind of total kind of dog of a song.
Oh, yeah, no, we've got one. I can actually go.
No, I don't know about that. There were the Russian grannies.
The Russian grannies. The Russian grannies.
Not this year, but last year.
Can I point
year?
Out this year's most awful song as far as I'm concerned? This is from... where is he from? Belarus.
Oh,
Teo.
Cheesecake.
I gave you one more chance.
Patrick Swayze, you not Jennifer Grey.
Yeah, I'm not Patrick Swayze, you're not Jennifer Grey. He drops
either.
Google Maps into the chorus.
Can I tell you? Really fucked or really awesome, and I'm not quite sure.
One of my most favourite things about Eurovision is the Belarus accent.
I call it the generic European accent, because they all seem to veer around it.
Yeah, but Belarus is particularly pointed.
Yes.
And it reminds me of in when Dimitri Kulden in 2007 did Work Your Magic and rhymed willing with feeling with work your magic. I never want to lose this feeling. I am ready and I'm wheeling.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
I'm wheeling. It's awesome. Right. Also, Belarus are complete losers.
Like, oh, yeah.
They've entered, I think, 9 times. They've only ever got through to the final twice.
They probably couldn't afford to actually host now, it, so they can't win.
No, they can't win.
Can you explain to me, there's a whole bunch of countries not competing, but they're still allowed to vote. Do they get booted out from last year, or they're just gone?
No, a lot of countries have just chosen not to participate because of finances.
Oh,
right.
So you can like really dip out and go, in case you go, we might actually win this year.
Yeah,
By some weird.
It costs a lot of money to send people there.
Oh yeah, it would.
Like there was this whole controversy in Ireland following Jedward's second turd in the pool.
Oh. Oh, we need to talk about going to see Jedward.
When Jedward pissed in the pool for the second time, and Ireland took a deep draft of those golden waters. There was actually because of course Ireland was flat broke, right?
Yes.
It was in deep recession. There was a question in Parliament about how much did we spend sending those fucking idiots to Eurovision, right?
And I mean, fair enough. They're clearly not going to win.
Clearly.
Fair enough. But
they spent €380,000 sending Jedward to give everyone the shits in Baku.
€380,000.
Yeah.
That's $1 million.
That is $1 million.
That's $500,000 per Jedward.
That's almost as much as the budget for Kylie Minogue's hair on The Voice.
Well, maybe she's reusing Jedward's hair.
They did have enough of it, honestly.
They certainly did.
And I think it was in their contract that they couldn't actually have the same hair twice.
So
they had two different haircuts at the semi-finals. Did you see?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, because early they had...
They cut away to them very quickly.
Yeah,
But they'd hurt my eyes, so I looked away.
They've had these weird, these nutty things where they've been doing... I've got to flick on another song. I'm having to do this on my own, which is hard.
Oh, no. Where's that produced?
I know. I'm trying to set it up to do it automatically, but I haven't worked out how to do it yet.
It's all right.
They have these books where, you know, like they had these comedy bits.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like the highest hair, and they were like hilarious comedy bits, which obviously have been translated into every different country.
Yeah.
And we got the amusing British one. And yeah, it was all about who had the highest hair in Eurovision, and then it was Jedward. And then they cut to Jedward afterwards, and they had their massive big high hair, and they're waving at the camera. Then later on, they had who had the biggest shoulder pads, and it was Jedward, because they had double-layered shoulder pads when they did lipstick.
Oh.
And they cut to Jedward, and their hair was like in a flick.
They'd stuck
like
their hair in
flick.
Their shoulders. That's what they cut. They were just like, we've just got to fucking get on here as much as we can. Let's do all we can, stick the hair in the shoulders.
Do you know my favourite thing this year has been hairography? Like, it's turning into RuPaul's
hair
Drag curry. Race.
Hair, and hair reveals.
Hair reveals.
Russia with their hair reveal.
Russia, yeah. Well, let's put the Russians on.
So Russia had a hair them. Reveal. They had... Russia's got twins competing this
God,
year.
Yeah, God, right? it's like a fucking David Lynch film.
Which is by my count, the fifth instance of Eurovision twins in Eurovision history.
Okay.
So they've got twins competing, and they start their number with ponytails, like woven together, like Siamese twins conjoined at the ponytail.
Right. Because that happens. Sad.
Yep, all the time.
And then there's a big spectacular reveal. Oh, we're separate ponytails.
I know.
Oh, really? That sounds like a real shock.
Yeah. It took me completely by expectation. Yeah. And then Moldova had a hair reveal as well.
She had a hair reveal.
Where she just ripped out her extensions.
Oh.
Basically.
Right.
Yeah. A bit like a fag hag at the tail end of the peel. She's just, yeah!
Fuck you, Bevan! Fuck you!
and there's Moldova. I really loved Moldova last night.
Yeah, Moldova was nice.
It was a great dramatic number. And
should I put her on?
Put her on if you like.
What's her name?
Moldova.
You know what? Moldova are a bit of a dark horse. They usually do pretty well.
Racist.
Well, she had a...
and their songs are really good in general,
Moldova.
She's
very white. Christina Scarlett, wasn't it? Wild
yes,
Soul.
But they couldn't possibly afford to host it.
Moldova, no.
A handful of countries in Europe that could actually afford to. Like, they're not going to Greece, are they? I mean, no. Really.
No. But she was quite good. I liked Christina Scarlett.
Yeah.
Very dramatic.
Listen to this, huh?
And she had her backup dancers look like the Unsullied from Game of Thrones.
Oh.
And they dance like eunuchs as well.
Wow.
Her backup dancers look like the entire front of house staff of the art centre.
But going to a Game of Thrones theme night.
I'm always reminded when I see dances like that of Terry Wogan's commentary where he would just drop clunkers like, look at those girls' blouses behind.
Oh, yeah.
He was so dirty.
And like if someone had really big boobs, he would like say, yes, you just check out The Woman on the Right when it starts.
I think you'll find Sam Pang gets into a bit of that himself.
Oh, all right.
Last night there was a woman wearing, she didn't get through, poor bitch. She was wearing like a... You know, like a Halle Berry at the Oscars number where her boobs are barely covered by some leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some giant calypso drumming going Portugal. On in the background. Portugal, that was her. And Sam Pang was like, I just love that huge pair of drums.
Oh, God. God, so it's Julie Zemira and Mrs. Slocum doing Eurovision now, is it? Right.
Do you know, I'd be entirely comfortable if Sam Pang just morphed into Wogan and just became... We just had Sam Pang as this kind of, like, bitter, old, moany, dirty fucking...
Because he's kind of Wogan when he interviews them backstage. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, like, he's kind of loathsome.
He doesn't get what they're saying. He doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah,
I reckon the Eurovision, like the commentating on the Eurovision, needs a few sound effects, a few kind of boings and things like that. I reckon just to jazz it up a little bit.
Do you think Tony Pearon should host it?
Do you know what I think? I think there should be, like, it's digital TV now, it's multi-channel. Yeah. You should be able to choose your commentary.
Oh, yes.
So for the aging queens like me, there should be a hardcore commentary where people are like just doing the numbers and saying, and that's the first 8 points from Cyprus since 1972. Of course, we all remember where we were when, El Su changed key in 2001. And then there should be like the dresses are so funny, aren't they? Commentary. Like, what do they come as? So the songs aren't very good, are they? Yeah.
I get the impression that Julia and Sam are trying to do both.
Yes.
Like they're trying to cover everything.
It's a difficult job because like people watch Eurovision for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, there are the old Schlager queens, and then there are just like queens. the once a year. I always think of them as like the people that go to church on Christmas and Easter.
Yes.
And then you could have like a channel where there are just two people who are just looking up where the fuck these countries are in the atlas. As well. Okay, so this is Azerbaijan, which I thought was the cocktail.
See, if we hosted it, we would cross to Troy in the geography centre. Troy at the geography call centre. Where is Azerbaijan?
Is Armenia the country or their name?
Well, let's talk about Armenia.
What a huge piece of stinking shit. I mean, look,
really?
I'm unbiased. biased, of course.
I thought Armenia were the favourites. When I watched all the songs, or like the, you can watch the video clips or the live performances, I saw the Armenian entry and I went, A, Kardashians from Armenia. So Armenians are big at the moment. Yes. Big ass Armenians. And I... You'd hear the song, and it's one of those ballads that builds to a huge crescendo with a weird dubstep breakdown in the middle of it. great orchestration, really nice song. But I thought it was giving itself over to crazy staging. I was expecting... Yes. God, there's some rule about like no more than five people on stage or something.
Six on stage.
I thought at least five backup dancers who all caught on fire and then were put out by rain. Like, just, I could see something enormous happening. And it's just this one dude moaning at the top of his lungs. Mm. And apparently, not only is he, he's the host of X Factor or The Voice in Armenia.
I think he's like a Armenian Daryl Summers.
Yeah, he's not even a contestant from The X Factor. He's the
twice
host.
Cursed. Right. Twice cursed.
And his name is Aram MP3, which is apparently some amusing Armenian joke, because he's a comedian who plays songs and does... amusing covers. He does song parodies.
And you know how much we love that.
We love comedy song parodies more than anything here at the...
Because it's really hard to change a word and make it bum or something.
As one of my favourite comedians ever, Bev Killick, once sang, "Just give me anal in the morning.
Yes.
Just part my cheeks before you leave me."
Yeah.
See, maybe Bev should move to Armenia.
Yes.
Maybe she could kill it in Armenia. She could
kill it. It's a big, rousing ballad.
Yeah.
Away from the stage. Dubstep breakdown.
Yes.
Wow.
But I really liked it, and then the performance was dull.
Yeah, do you know what? It's the favourite.
I know. To win,
and I just have to say, I just don't get it.
Surely money's gone off it since
Since last night.
How much?
Yeah, I haven't checked the
how much do you reckon, like, the song? What are they looking for, the song or the performance? What do you reckon gets the votes? Like, the big specky people on fire?
It's the full package. It's the whole package.
Yeah, it's everything.
You can't afford to drop the ball on any aspect.
Mm.
If your song is shit, then people will spot that,
yep.
and you'll lose votes. And if your staging doesn't work, then people will also spot that,
yeah.
and it will lose votes. And that's why, like, the best songs last night had the simplest staging.
Yes.
Like, Sweden.
Sweden, yeah, but I wanted just one more thing, just something extra.
In that song, extra.
I wanted something extra.
Oh, controversy.
Oh, my God. That's like going to McDonald's and saying, "Can I have a burger inside my burger? I'd like a burger, please."
No, it's just saying...
Can I get some extra pizza on my pizza?
No, it's just saying I'll have fries with that. That's all.
No,
I'm not
way.
Asking. I'm not asking
no
for too
way.
Much.
Or a McFlurry.
Sanna Nielsen is the living embodiment of flawlessness.
I get it. Like, she was amazing. Let's have a listen to Sanna while we're doing this. Otherwise, we'll go on to Rise Like a Phoenix.
Oh, and that's a whole hour.
That's a whole hour.
But
I thought she was great, Sanna.
She was great. So the numbers tended to be either like that, had a killer song and they just plomped the person on stage and let them sing it, or Ukraine's a good example. It was a weak song and they just threw everything at it. Just do something,
you know. Where is Sanna? Why isn't she turning up?
Even Portugal was a bit like that. Portugal had a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was shitty Calypso bullshit.
Yeah, but I liked it because there's so many of these, you know, weepy ballads. It was
a ballad, yeah.
It was really nice to just have a dumb Ibiza pop song.
And I think that's why
song.
Jedward made such a splash when they first kind of appeared.
Well, literally a splash the second year. They got wet.
I did Jedward's fountain.
Because they just kind of burst onto stage and were complete fuckwits for four
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah. But again, their idiocy covered over a pretty weak song.
Yeah.
So you do need the whole package, I think.
Yeah, look, and I really loved Sanna Nielsen's performance. I thought she was amazing.
Yes.
It was just, I just felt it was lacking something, like, you know, the lighting was grey.
She should have come in on a wrecking ball.
That would have been fantastic. Yeah. If she'd been lowered from the ceiling, or if she'd popped up out of the ground, or if some...
She sounded like cats.
Or if some shoeless bitches just ran at her and then ran past. Like, just... I just wanted that one little extra touch of Eurovision. Because it was a really good performance. It was a really good song. But I worry, because I love the song so much, I worry that it's going to be one of those things where it's like, yeah, it was all right, but all she did was sing.
Yeah.
Do you know what? That is how I feel about the Netherlands.
Oh. Which I adored.
Yeah.
I absolutely... But you know what? As soon as I saw that Netherlands performance, I went, this is a really good song, beautifully constructed, really nice Nashville
production.
Were
they stoned? No. They did. It wasn't so much a dance break as a snack break during the song.
No, that was Latvia. Yeah. But, I'll listen to Sanna. She's going off.
Listen to this.
I just feel like I'm in your car, Adam. This is what you play.
This is Frederik Schempe wrote this song.
Right.
Right. Sanna pretty much only works with Frederik Schempe. Right. Sanna is an old hoofer. She's like from a dance band from her teenage years.
She's not in her first flush of youth.
No, she's like 27 or something, right?
But she's doing it for like 10, 20, 15 years or something.
She's been around for 150 years, and she is like, in Sweden, she would do morning melodies really regularly, right?
Yeah, okay.
She's not cool and she's not famous, right? But she has entered Melody Festival in the Swedish national final seven times,
wow.
Right?
And never got anywhere. So she's Little Patty.
So this is exactly. So this is a Cinderella story, right? And Frederik Schempe, she always works with Frederik Schempe as the songwriter, who is a fat old Swedish poof, right? Who usually enters two songs into Melody Festival in each year, one with Sanna Nielsen and one with whatever bit of trade he has picked up.
Great.
Some blonde dude with overalls on. Yeah.
This year he entered Sanna Nielsen and another guy called Linus Svenning, who is a, quote, YouTube sensation.
Oh, okay.
Right. Oh, I love a YouTube sensation.
Or is he an X-Tube sensation?
I think he might be an X-Tube sensation, more to the point. He was this kind of rough trade, heavily tattooed, kind of, you know, twunk that couldn't sing for shit, right? But I'm sure had to have heaps and heaps of rehearsals.
Yeah, yeah. We've
so
just got
many
to loosen
rehearsals.
That throat up.
Yeah. I've got to rehearse till at least 7 o'clock in the morning.
I think we might do some digital processing.
Why are we having a rehearsal in a sling? It's good for your vocal cords.
It's good for your diaphragm.
Yeah, you need the support. Yeah, it's all about support.
Well, this is the calm after the storm, the common linnets, whatever that means,
which is
from the Netherlands. And it's very Nashville. Like, apparently they went to Nashville.
Oh, did they?
To record it. And it's got a kind of Lady Antebellum, Dixie Chick sort of modern Nashville
feel.
It's
kind of like a Lisa Miller sort of tune or something, isn't it? Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
It's really nice.
It's a really well-constructed song. And the first thing I said when I heard it was like, well, that won't win.
Yeah, yeah.
It's too nice.
Like it's a good song, which, you know, Eurovision's always won by a fun pop song or you know, something. You know, there's weird boxes you have to tick. Like, what would you say the criteria are, Toby?
For to be a Eurovision winner, you have to the whole secret to Eurovision, I think, is just dancing on that boundary between getting it and not getting it. You've really got to sort of get it, but if you entirely get it, you will get nowhere. It's a bit like unfocusing your eyes to see the magic eye picture.
So you've got to take it seriously, but just slightly fuck it up.
But or the other way around.
Yeah,
or
right.
be totally throwaway about it, but still a little bit
why I thought Sanna Nielsen was, while it was a really good performance, I just thought, it was too pure a performance. It was just about the vocals.
You think she gets it too much?
I thought she wants it too much.
I think there might have been a Cinderella story.
None of that. I don't want that. Yeah. None of the trapeze artist. Like,
the dancers on fire.
Seriously, one year they've got to have dancers on fire that get put out by rain. Yeah. That has got to be a thing, surely.
I'm surprised Ukraine hasn't tried it so far. Because there was that year at the opening of the 2005 Eurovision when Ruslana had run with Wild Bands the year before, and she did the opening number with a flamethrower.
Yes.
Really?
She was doing the opening number and just busted out a flamethrower and just started going,
fuck. You couldn't do that in America. The fucking CIA would bring it down.
Like, one year, did someone have, like, an angle grinder, like, whacking it on their breastplate?
Turkey, I think, one year had an angle grinder. Yeah. Do you know what? You make a good point. You make a good point that it is just like the trouble with Sanna Nielsen with Sweden is that it's just a good song.
Yeah.
And it does kind of need someone doing something fucked in the background.
It does.
Just to ruin it slightly.
Even if it was a see-through piano filled with neon. It just needed something
a bit,
shit.
A bit dicky. Yeah.
That is so Eurovision.
I know.
Image.
I've been watching it too much.
They just need someone with an angle grinder or a flamethrower in a cage.
Yeah, in a cage.
That's on top of a piano.
It's funny you say in a cage because the entire stage looks like it's in a cage, right. Like the world's biggest cage.
It looks like they're battery farming Eurovision singers.
The lighting, though, was... I saw one song and the lighting was spectacular.
Mm.
The lighting was amazing.
The lighting is spectacular, although, as Kaz Cook pointed out on the Twitter last night, they're really fond of the blue laser.
I am.
And nobody looks good under blue lighting.
No, they look like junkies in a toilet.
Yes. Yeah, that was what she was saying.
Do you know when they did Eurovision in Moscow, when Moscow hosted it in 2010, Moscow imported, I forget the exact statistic, and some middle-aged poof in Sydney's going to email and correct me, but it was something like 75% of all the LED screens in Europe were on stage in Moscow.
So there was nothing behind Trevor Ashley at Hairspray.
It doesn't matter. You can't see anything beyond that, man.
Oh, love, I don't know why they have those screens. You can't see the past. So I got a fucking total eclipse every time I do a song.
And he was wearing a fat suit. Oh, dear. We've slagged off Trevor Ashley. Tick.
Yeah,
this is
tick,
the podcast.
Tick, done.
Now, this is one of my favourite songs as well, although I find it a bit cloying. It's Norway.
Silent Storm
by Carl Espen, who looks like a bit like James Hetfield from Metallica going through his 90s solo phase.
Right. Oh.
Interesting story. He is a total amateur, complete rank amateur.
Really?
Yes, and the song was written by his cousin, right, who if you've watched the Norwegian national finals, as I have, you will know is a tiny, furious fucking lesbian. Right? She is like an absolute little fucking Doberman schnauzer. Like one of those tiny hairless dogs that, you know. Like
a chihuahua.
Little, yeah, like a little lesbian Anthony Norwegian chihuahua Sinead O'Connor character.
Oh, wow.
Right? Lord. Who's written this song and... has asked her cousin to sing it. And he's this kind of frightening, heavily tattooed dude.
But kind of hot.
Kind of hot.
And he sounds quite good in the background.
I really like it.
It's good. It's good.
Do you know why I think it has a chance of winning?
Yes.
Because the lesbian will bully every other country.
Well, the same reason I thought Armenia had a chance is because the Kardashians are big and Armenians are a big deal at the moment.
Yes.
But equally, the big news is Scandinoir. Like, everyone was talking about...
Scandinoir,
which
is...
What
are we talking
Scandinavian
about?
Crime television shows.
Oh. The Killing.
The Killing.
Oh, right.
The Bridge.
And the bridge goes from Sweden to Denmark.
Yes.
And that song, Silent Storm, sounds almost exactly like the theme song to The Bridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll see if I can get it up on the YouTube.
So that nasty lesbian's been stealing.
Fuck.
Look, it was heavily favoured in the voting, in the odds, early on in the piece, but it's dropped off a bit.
Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of Jägarleif from last year, Iceland from last year.
I like
year.
That one.
Yeah, because the thing about it is it's a very simple melody.
Yep.
Like, there's no tricks to it.
So just the way that, you know, it sounded like quite sweet, like a sweet melody.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that someone, a really angry lesbian wrote it, that she just found this tiny core of calm within herself. Around this seething mass of lesbian angst. And just wrote this one thing.
Slacking off lesbians, tick. Yeah, done. Yeah, this is the Poofcast. We're fine.
There's an ad playing. That's
I think that it will go to a Scandinavian country.
I think so too. I think because Scandinoir is so big. Also, because the Eastern Bloc countries, no one's really got anything good up.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the theme song to The Bridge.
It's very similar, isn't it?
It has a really similar vibe.
It is
just
really
those,
similar.
Those simple piano notes, a bit
and
of
that
falsetto.
Kind of high tenor sort of
range. It's a very... Yeah. It's my that's my paranoia.
Yeah, it's a pity that the rest of Europe have, you know, modelled all of their songs on jingles.
Well, for instance, this song, "We Are Slavic."
Who's this?
This is I can't even see the name of the country. It's Donatan and Cleo. They're from somewhere. Here we go, Poland.
Ah, Poland's back. Yeah. They're not even Slavic. Well, I suppose slightly.
And the
lyric "We are Slavic-ish" didn't really.
It's all about how the women are really beguiling and amazing. I've seen the video clip and I've heard that the staging echoes it somewhat.
Yes.
And the video clip has a lot of very slow pans across women's breasts.
Great.
Uh-oh, Sampang will go off.
Yeah. Jiggling large heaving bosoms.
Right, awesome. Right. Poland's back. Poland skipped last year.
Yes.
For financial reasons.
I love that you can just dip out.
Yeah. What, 1 year France dipped out because I just the reason they gave was it's a monument to drivel. France
and
just decided not to do it 1 year.
Everybody else just went, well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Eurovision.
It's Eurovision. Yeah, you can just crack it. France just went, this is fucking bullshit.
This is bullshit.
I'm going to manufacture a substandard airplane this year.
Oh, that's Toby's other obsession, the airplane.
Yeah, I brought it all together.
Yeah.
All in one delicious sandwich.
Yeah, I don't want to listen to my Slovenian.
Fun fact, Poland are the most successful first-time entrant ever.
Oh,
really?
Their very first entry in 94, I think it was, came second.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
That is
a fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
Objectively a fun fact. It's fun. That is a fun fact.
Okay,
as
wow.
As opposed to terrifying facts. Yeah. Now, should we talk about Rise Like a Phoenix?
All right, let's talk about
this. Because this is the only one I've seen as well.
Ah,
it's like a Bond number.
I'm a bit disappointed that it's as good as it is.
You wanted it to be shit.
You
wanted
total
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the artist is Conchita Wurst.
Which apparently means feminine sausage.
Well, Wurst is sausage.
Yeah, I think there's some reference to kind of femininity. So
Conchita.
It's like,
right. Yeah. So it's like his name is Lady Fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Lady
right.
Sausage.
Yep, little boy. Yeah.
Lady Frankfurt. Lady Frankfurt.
This is Lady Don Smallgood.
But amazing looking, just beautiful, stunning.
Well, yeah. looks actually a lot like one of the Kardashians.
Yes.
Yes.
What, with the beard.
Yeah. Well, I think Chloe has to have a bit of depilatory work.
Yes.
He can sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was a just stand in the middle of the stage and sing. I guess if you've got a woman with a beard singing a song, you don't need people
well,
on
see,
fire behind
but
her.
But there is a reveal. There is a reveal because it starts from behind and she turns around.
Oh, it always starts from behind,
Mama's,
Adam.
Mama hasn't shaved.
Yeah.
She looks like every woman in Europe.
So does she identify as female or male?
She identifies...
Like, is she trans or is she...
She's
man
a,
or
an art performer. Like it's right. like whenever the question right. of transgenderism comes up, it's just she's an art.
Right,
like
she's
human
all
art installation.
I don't country. Like labels. There are no need for binary oppositions.
Yeah, I think so.
Fucking don't be so CIS specific.
I kind of like the idea that, you know, because drag queens now are becoming more and more like the genuine article. Like
yes.
they look like actual women.
Yes.
So it's, you kind of go, well, where's the joke? Where's the...
Yeah.
Where's... Because the whole point of drag for a long time was about visibility. And it was about saying, look, this is us. This is our community. We are men in dresses. You can't ignore us. We're not going to go away. And now that they've become, you know... assimilated, essentially. Like, they look like
yes.
normal women.
Yes.
So this
which
is
also
of...
a discredit to normal women.
Yeah, yeah, often, yes.
But now
they've met us halfway. It's not all our fault.
Yeah. But it's kind of like by wearing the beard, it's like saying, I...
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
also, it's a pretty good beard.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's a well-tended beard.
Excellent.
It is like a Bond song.
It is.
And yeah, I kind of wish that it had just been a ridiculous, over-the-top, you know, la 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 la
like Dana International
number or something like that.
I'm a lady, we're the dick. La 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 la.
Ooh, ah, just a little dick. Ooh, ah, little dick.
That was, of course, infamous Gold Coast drag queen Jenna G.
Yeah.
99.
Yeah.
Was she 99? No, she was 96. She came 8th.
She can't wait. But that song went to number one in America or somewhere.
It's one of the bigger Eurovision hits, Gina G.
Really?
You know what I think should be a hit is the Soft Engine.
Oh, Finland.
From Finland.
The Soft Engine.
Which is the most... It's called Something Better. It's the most radio-friendly song, I think, in Eurovision this year.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty generic, though.
Yeah. I worked at a radio station.
This is it?
This is
it.
Shit we would play all the time.
That was the Veronicas, and now the latest hit from...
I love how you think people still listen to the Veronicas.
Oh, no. There was a period there where the Veronicas, they just played them nonstop.
Yeah, wait, that was 10 years ago.
Was that?
Yes.
What do you play now?
I don't know. I don't work there. Oh. That's why we're doing this in Toby's lounge room.
Toby, what do you play?
Oh, in my lounge room?
Yeah.
Soft Engine. Yeah, that's what I play, yeah.
Soft Good name, engine. Soft Engine.
Apparently it's Icelandic for...
Soft Engine?
Software engineer.
Oh, really?
Or something, yeah. I know.
There are a bunch of kids. There are a bunch of teenagers. I watched the Finnish final this year. And it was a pretty good final. Finland's pretty good at Eurovision. The final was really good. And there were some more distinctive songs.
Yeah.
In the final. Oh, what was that? There was one song.
Do you think they got over the line because they're good looking and they sound like they could be played on the radio?
Yeah, but quite possibly. There was one song that there was a bunch of hot bitches with guitars in Finland. I can't think of the name of the band now, but the name of the band was something like Hot Bitches or something.
Oh, wow.
Right? And they were there and like...
Hot Bitches Melting the Fjords of Finland.
If Euro fans can remember the 2007, the Belarusian entry Cerebro or the Russian entry Cerebro, there was a bunch of hot bitches with like their clams hanging out of their short skirts, right?
Wow.
It was very much like that, like some really sassy numbers, and they went with this kind of generic teenage boy thing. But what is great about the Finnish finals, try and find on Google Images photos of the judges, right? Because
Marsha Hines,
they are dressed up like Eurovision acts themselves. They are very fashion forward.
Right.
I love that shit.
The Euro judges.
I get the impression though that every country, like every band or singer that goes for Eurovision in their respective country starts off doing it as a joke but ends up taking it seriously.
Yeah, I think
it's
pretty much how it works. Yeah, pretty much.
Although, having seen the sense of humour on display at Eurovision, I don't know that they think it's ever funny.
They must.
No, because the sense of humour is really... Like, a cross-cultural sense of humour is really broad. Like, you know those terrible Just for Laughs shows which is like candid camera?
Yeah.
It's just like people falling over and... Because, you know, it's like you can do puns.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because they're really lame. The jokes that the hosts do are always really laboured and
it's always like fist pumping for when you say the name of the country that you're in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sweden! Yay!
It is strange. I was watching the Estonian national finals a couple of years ago.
I love that you watch all the national finals.
It's my favourite thing. I didn't watch them all this year, but I was watching Estonia last year, and they had like little comedy skits in between the numbers.
And it was all about people tripping over potatoes.
Well, the theme was Welcome to Estonia, right? And it was like sort of, you know, wry little observations about... That's so Estonian, isn't it? If it had been Welcome to Australia, it would have been, you know, like having a beer at breakfast or something.
Yeah, right,
one of those national stereotypes things. And they did this sketch, and I could see the idea of the sketch was in Estonia we're very private and we don't like to engage with people around us.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're a bit embarrassed to engage with people around us, okay? Now, if that was me doing that sketch, I would have done a sketch about maybe people not talking to each other on the train.
Yes.
Or maybe a couple sitting at home ignoring each other.
Texting each other across
the couch. Yeah, something like that. Like a funny, ironic commentary, right?
Yeah.
What Estonia did was they had the sketch was someone sitting on a park bench reading a newspaper next to a woman. Then a masked bandit came up and choked the woman to death while the other person sat reading the paper.
What is...
And then they finished the sketch with a little jingle that went, "Welcome to Estonia."
I don't even hardly believe you.
Fantastic.
That is not a thing.
It's a true story. It's a true story. So, yes, senses of humour do vary across
the line. They vary right across the line.
Can we talk, while you mentioned, you know, kind of stereotypes of countries, can we talk about Jessica Malvoy? Speaking of...
I love Jess. She's very sweet.
I love her too. And I thought her performance was great. Girl. But the stuff beforehand, the like before she actually made it to the stage...
I haven't seen the whole thing because that's on tonight's episode. So I've only seen little bits of her.
I saw it on YouTube.
Do they have her like...
Does she have a chat?
Petting a kangaroo or something?
No, well, it starts off with kind of like someone in a koala outfit and a surfer, a blonde surfer, who's clearly Nordic.
Yeah.
but the stage is full of all
Denmark.
These stereotypes, Australian stereotypes, and then that she comes out and sings her song. But it's literally kind of people in suits and having barbecues and you know, animal suits, koalas and kangaroos, and it's really, really lame and shitty.
Right. But is it embarrassing?
It is a bit embarrassing, but then Jessica gets on and he's amazing.
That's the Danish, though. They're doing that.
Yeah, right.
And their knowledge of Australia is Princess Mary.
Yeah.
Like, so she's obviously written that sketch. So we can blame her.
It's very
strange.
She's
made that entire thing out of Lego.
But then, at the end, a guy in a spacesuit comes down from the roof. Have you seen this?
No, I've seen photos of her in a spaceman.
With a flag, with an Australian flag on one side and the Aboriginal flag on the other. And a voiceover says something like, that's just that's one...
It's a giant... It's one small step for Europe, but a giant leap for Australia.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was very strange.
It's badly translated.
That's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was amazing. I was very proud of our Jessica.
But do you know what? The idea of national stereotypes sort of touches on the other important factor of Eurovision. Like, yes, it's about the numbers, and yes, it's about the songs. But also, never forget, Eurovision is fueled by a deep and abiding, passionate racism.
Yes. Yes. Greece will always vote for Cyprus.
Absolutely.
Well, Cyprus aren't in it this year. Oh, really? So Greece are high and dry.
Wild card. Yeah.
But that's why I think we like it in Australia.
Yeah.
Because we get to be racist about everybody.
And we don't have
to sit there with our cultural cringe. Because it's like, oh my God, these people are much shitter at doing television than we are. Like, their production values are spectacular, but listen to them.
Yes.
What are they saying? That's not a joke.
Yeah.
Although last year, the Swedish girl that hosted was really funny.
She was really good.
She was really good.
And do you know what? I didn't realise this, but English is her third language.
No.
She had to learn English especially. Yeah.
To do Eurovision.
Yeah.
But her timing was great.
She's more fluent in French than English.
That is full on.
Wow.
She's stunning.
God, we're
speaking
so
of
dumb.
English, yeah. This is Molly, who's also tipped to possibly win.
Molly.
Because you know they've had Engelbert Humperdinck.
Right.
And,
yes, Molly Meldrum.
Yes, Molly
Meldrum. Okay,
and Bonnie Tyler. So they've run out of old, almost dead people.
Yeah.
And so they've gone to what's called the BBC Introducing Stream, which is like Triple J Unearthed.
Right.
And found this girl.
So this is England.
This is England, a bit like Lord. So I don't know if they're trying to hedge their bets.
Maybe they're just cloning.
But yeah, she's not bad.
I think this will go... This will be their best result since Jade Ewan in 2007. This will go seventh or better.
Really?
Yep.
You don't think it's a chance to win?
No.
It's got a dubstep breakdown. Listen to it.
Do you bet on Eurovision?
No, I don't. No. Because... Because
you'd be Rain Man. They wouldn't bloody let you. It'd be illegal. You'd be like, ah, Qantas never crashed. Oh, that's never won.
It's really bad betting on Eurovision because... like, the favourite does usually win.
Yeah. Oh,
so it's hard to make any really decent money. Yeah.
So are you saying Armenia could actually win?
Yeah, they could.
But it was just so boring.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? I think Sweden's going to win.
Mm.
I think Austria is going to come second.
Right.
I think Armenia is going to come third. UK top five or top seven. And I think Russia's going to get booed off the fucking stage. Oh. Did you hear them last night when they got announced? They got booed. Oh,
really?
Yeah. Well, because of the whole, you know...
The homophobia.
Difficulties in Ukraine.
Well, I'm guessing
there's the homophobia where apparently the Russian bosses of their station and their surrounding countries that like them.
Right.
And the bits of Ukraine that they've taken back over.
Yes.
Have been told... to not vote for Austria because it's a man lady.
Mm-hmm.
And or, as they called it, a hotbed of sodomy.
Oh, gotta book me a ticket to Austria. Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Why is it always a hotbed, though? I mean, really?
Well, you don't want to have sex in a cold one.
Nah, that's true.
Especially not in Denmark.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been in beds of sodomy and they're usually soggier than they are.
Yeah. Clammy.
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 A clammy bed of sodomy. See, it's not as good, is it? Pure? If you know what? If homophobes just knew the truth.
If they knew.
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem. They're terrified of what it actually is. Like, if you showed them how tedious it was.
Oh.
That would be like, sodomy. Oh, you're not going to convert anyone to that.
I know.
You clearly wouldn't do that unless you were compelled to.
Really wanted to do it. That's why I don't understand Joel Creasy being gay for pay. It's, like, it's a lot of effort to go to it just to maintain that accent. Yeah.
He's like Chris Lilley. He's just staying in character like,
the whole fucking time.
Yeah, if you knew the truth, you wouldn't. No one does that by choice.
No one would do that by choice. Like, there are. It's like when I was doing. This is a weird thing to bring it back to. Celebrity Splash, which we've never spoken about on here because it was when I stopped doing this.
Yeah.
but I like jumping headfirst into the water from 5, 7, 10 meters up is the most unnatural thing you can possibly do. Like,
forget anal sex. Yeah. High diving.
Yeah. Are you saying that, like, Celebrity Splash was a bit like anal?
No, it was gay for pay.
Oh, okay.
Like,
right,
I was getting paid a lot of money, and that's all I could think of as I plummeted towards
certain
doom. To
fall well.
I'm still going to the bloody doctor because my neck is retarded. Like, I can't turn my head...
From snapping
I can't turn my head full 360 like I used to be able to do when I was vegan.
Luckily, the projectile vomit still works.
Oh, that still comes through.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it's a really unnatural...
That you wouldn't do unless there was some external force compelling you to. Yeah. So the idea that you can just convert someone and say, hey, come and do this.
Come and be gay.
This is going to be really good fun.
But at the same time...
Come and pop that up your bum.
Yeah. Ew. At the same time, it is pretty good.
Yeah, I still don't understand why you love that so much.
No.
Like, were you beaten as a child?
Only on the prostate.
Look, it's just cultural, you know what I mean? Like, the French eat horse meat. They don't know any better, you know? It's just what we're used to.
It's what we're used to. But just the cleaning. Like, do straight people have to spend that much time cleaning?
No, I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
I've never done it.
I think they just sort of... roll over and get on with it.
I know there's a couple of days a month where it might need some
administration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know someone that used to do it with a towel on the bed because she didn't want to make the sheets putrid.
Oh, God.
She said it was doable, but it was messy. Oh. But it's messy all the time for us.
Yeah, that's
like, unless
Scott does it in a waiting pool for the same I'm just going to put a tarpaulin down.
That's right. I've got the state emergency service on standby.
What's all that brown shit floating away? They're my baby. Yeah. I birthed them just now.
Oh, you make it sound like gay men's asses are like a burst water main.
It's like some kind of like brown deep spring mineral water commercial. Just fountains.
You know what I think gushing. It is? I think it's because I eat way more food than either of you. So there's never a time when it's not busy back there. Right.
But it's true, isn't it? I don't know where gay men have established this reputation with just like instant sluttery when you consider how much palaver.
The planning and
I don't know. I don't understand people having sex. Like, I can understand giving someone a gobby in the toilets or a wristy.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
But
sure.
To go,
catch as catch can, right?
Yeah, to go the whole hog. Like, you've got to take a run up.
It's like going to the specialist. You've got to book it in a couple months in advance.
Yes.
You know, and take the morning off work.
Scott with his psyllium
husks.
You'll
be no good for until lunchtime.
Lifestyle change.
Like when we had Dean Fisticuffs on. What's his
name? Oh, Dean Beck.
Dean Beck.
Dean Wrist.
Rhymes with up to the neck. Hello, Dean.
Talking about, you know, the diet he was on.
Oh, and planning.
He'd got into training to put things up his bum.
He's like the Ian Thorpe of fisting, honestly. He's actually,
I think Ian Thorpe is
the Ian Thorpe of fisting. The fist pedo.
But yeah, it's not easily come by.
No. Oh.
What? Matron. We've totally gotten off our Eurovision
track. Sorry.
Totally. No, it's fine.
This is exactly what Russia is afraid of. That Eurovision is a gateway to talking about anal sex. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe while we've been talking, someone's had this on in the car and they've just, and they've just started fisting themselves. They've gone, fisting, that's a thing you can do.
Yeah.
Something I'm gonna that give goes it, easy.
I might give that a spin. Something oh, no, I've ruined the Commodore.
Oh, no. This is totally the gay agenda. So, yeah, this is what we do.
How am I going to get that out of that beaded seat cover?
Oh, Wes. And a joke about Wes fucking a cab driver. Yeah,
tick, man. Tick, tick. This is the podcast.
Speaking of taking up the bum, this is Greece.
Oh, oh, they're okay this year.
Stop. Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
They're okay if, you know, you were at the Canary Islands. This yeah. song is from Mykonos.
This is... It's a little bit kind of Ibiza. It's
so Ibiza.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what they always do. Greece have got, you know... all the subtlety of a yeah. Hydrochloric acid douche. Yeah. Like, just, you know what I mean? They just fucking come at you.
Yeah. And also, you know, they would
they make Robin Thicke look like Jane Austen. They while, just...
While we're speaking about subtlety, I find it entirely appropriate that the Hungarian entry, which is tipped to get a really high place.
Yeah, yeah.
Andres Kalisondas. It's an upbeat number about child abuse.
What?
Listen, Daddy, why? Leave me alone.
Oh, God. Was this written by the Department of Human Services?
No, they wouldn't do this.
No. She
keeps on running. Yep, it's an up-tempo dance number. About wow. smacking the shit out of your kids.
I can't wait to see the backup dancers for that one. Honestly.
We were watching this last night and Peter turns around to me halfway through and goes, this isn't about running at all.
I love Peter.
Yeah, up-tempo dance number about child abuse. It's Eurovision, not wow. afraid to take on the big issues.
I did point out, like, one of the ridiculous... Because, you know, everyone was, like, stepping away from, like, oh, I can't make jokes about this, can't make jokes about this. And I just said... I feel like the message in this song has fallen out of your pocket on the dance floor.
It's pretty full on. Like it I can't really remember another Euro song that like Euro songs are usually sort of about they're, platitudes, like yeah. let's all love each other or European unity.
They're full
or,
of cliches. And
yeah. I can't ever remember like Germany entering like a Holocaust denier song or it never happened. Da 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 da.
Well, it really is only a matter of time before Russia comes up with all gays should die. I mean, honestly.
How bizarre is that though? Like 10 years ago, the Russian entry was Tattoo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, teenage lesbian schoolgirls. Now it's, you know, let's ban Pussy Riot and put these teenage twins on stage with their moulded hair.
Well, there has been a movement to expel Russia from Eurovision.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. People were really agitating earlier in the year that, especially during the gay stuff, that they shouldn't be allowed, you know, shouldn't be allowed in.
Eurovision is fairly gay.
It is.
Oh, my God.
It is a hotbed of sodomy.
It is a hotbed of sodomy. It is a soggy bed of sodomy.
Yeah.
Israeli poofters from all over the world come to Eurovision to celebrate.
Do you think that is Hungary feeding into their paranoia, given that they're doing an upbeat number about child abuse?
Anything is possible.
Well, maybe. Maybe the last line of this song is, and it's always the gays.
Andres Kelly Saunders is an interesting story. He's from America, right? He's from, like, Brooklyn or something like that.
So he should have the sense to know that you need a little more subtlety than why, daddy, why in your song.
Yes, he should have the sense to know that.
And she keeps on running.
I'm just waiting for the news report about Rolf Harris where they play that.
And he, when he finished school, he went to Hungary to visit his Hungarian nonna.
Right.
For a couple of weeks. And while he was there, just casually entered Hungarian Idol.
As you do.
And won it. And now he's a big Hungarian pop star.
Like the Swedish brothers.
Like JTR, yeah.
That did the X Factor.
Precisely.
They were visiting their mum or someone.
So he's about as European as I am.
Right.
Which is fine. That happens all
Celine
the time.
Dion Celine did Dion. Eurovision.
Celine Dion.
She's Canadian. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, yes.
Has
She's
Australian. Gina G. From the Goldie.
Australian. Johnny Logan was born in Australia.
He was.
He was born in Frankston.
But he does still live in Ireland.
Yes, he is. And he's quite Irish.
He's won more than anyone ever.
Yes, he has. He has. True fact. True story. So that's Andras Kelly Saunders' thing.
Oh, you see, the fact that he actually speaks English says, like, makes me hate that song even more now.
Yeah, because so he should know.
He should know.
He should be in the studio going, really?
Really? We're going to do this?
Or he's being bummed off by some fat producer.
Maybe. Or maybe, you know, this was the song entry that started off as a joke and then everyone started taking it seriously by the end. Like, this is how Eurovision works.
Yeah, that's true. He's like, oh, let's do it about domestic child abuse. Yeah.
That's the thing when you say, oh, it started off as a joke. I just go, but then there's things like that that could never have been a joke at any point. And they don't see that
it could have been a dare.
It's inherently hilarious, as sad and tragic as it is.
See, it's the balance between getting it and definitely not getting it.
It'll win. Yeah. It's going to win, isn't it? The child abuse ballad.
The child abuse ballad. Sung by the American.
The American child abuse dance ballad.
It'll be Hungary's first. It'll be a christening for Hungary.
Yeah.
Because it is ticking the getting it and really not getting it
at the same time.
And the dancing was incredibly literal as well.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, it was really Rocker Steadford, wasn't it?
It was a guy chasing a girl around a piano until the singer stepped in.
I'm just imagining that.
A little bit.
Right.
And like hiding under the... She was hiding under the piano from him and he came and got her out from there and he chased her on stage.
And then it was really weird when he started to actually beat her.
Welcome to Estonia. Yeah.
And then the singer butted in and pushed the dad away and held the girl as to say, I'm here to rescue you.
Do you get it? Right,
yeah. No,
do you get it?
No, it's too subtle for me.
Metaphors not welcome at Eurovision.
Yeah.
No similes, we'll have no allegories.
No allegories, anything. Only strictly literal interpretations of exactly what is happening.
Just before we go through this song, it's Heartbeat. It's Irish. She has to sing a couple of really big notes in that song, and she doesn't seem up to it in the recording. And she would have had a couple of cracks at it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how she's going to go on the night.
Yeah, great.
Look, I think that she's got a bright future ahead of her at various Northern English Pride festivals over the coming summer. I think she's going to meet... I'm not saying she's going to lose, but she is going to meet Hazel Dean in a dressing room. In a plastic tent dressing room. Sometime in the next 12 months.
Yes.
That is definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the Irish entry, but they've been fairly luckless the last couple of years. Ryan Dolan, who came out as gay during the year. I don't know if anyone picked up any subtle hints from his performance last year.
His last place
winning performance.
Oh. I didn't really see any. Because there were a lot of nude men behind him playing instruments, weren't there?
Yeah. Turns out, likes the D.
Because they had a really good run for a while.
They were the most successful of the 90s.
The most successful Eurovision country ever, Ireland.
They've won the whole of the... Remember in the 90s when Irish-tinged ballads were the thing? Celine Dion on the fucking Titanic, which was as Irish penny whistle as you could get. Those numbers, like the Riverdance, like Ireland was in the 90s. So they just kept winning. That's why
three
I think
in
it's...
They won 70, 80... 92, 94, 5, 6.
Fuck that. 94, 95, 96. How could they afford to have it then every year?
I don't know if you've seen the episode of Father Ted where they're like, we can't afford it anymore. So they enlist the ridiculous priests from Farmer Ted to do the Eurovision entry.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it got that ridiculous.
But that's happened in the past. There was one year, I think, in the 60s where the Netherlands just went, nah, we're not doing it.
We don't want to win.
They won and just went, nah, we're not going to do it.
Oh, really?
Nah.
So who got it?
So and this is what happens. The BBC steps in.
Right.
Says, which is why the UK, this is why Wogan always moans so much about Eurovision, because they pay for everything. They always carry the can when someone declines to do it.
Well, the big five basically pay for the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Who are the big five? So England?
UK, France, Germany,
Spain.
Italy.
Right.
Yeah. And Italy didn't do it for like a million years.
Right. Yeah, Italy dropped out for 12 years. Yeah. So that's why the UK have got such a chip on their shoulder, because they pay for everything. They carry the can when people fuck up.
Well, then stop putting...
So stop sending shit songs, UK.
Yeah. Stop sending people who are a million years old sing your shit songs.
But they've always done that. They've always had, whether it's Lulu or Katrina and the Waves or whoever.
Katrina won.
She did win. With the largest per capita margin in Eurovision history.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she had the most 12 points ever, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like when you adjust it for the number of countries voting.
Oh.
What was the song?
Love Shine a Light,
right,
which actually did begin as a jingle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was written as a jingle for the Samaritans charity.
Oh.
And they turned it into the greatest Eurovision winning song ever.
Oh, wow. And that pretty much sums up Eurovision.
It pretty much
right
does.
There.
Right there.
If you're playing along at home, we have just played Same Heart by May Feingold, who is the Israeli entry.
Also quite heavily favoured.
Yes.
Israel.
I think it's because this is one of the things I love about Eurovision is when someone sings in a language other than English and you just have to interpret what they're singing about and it's exciting instead of why daddy why, where you're like, please don't. But she sings in English and then she...
And then in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, like halfway through, she switches. Ooh. So it's...
She pulls an Anthony Kalia.
Yeah, you get the best of both worlds.
A mid-song ethnic.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
When I sing along to the prayer in the car, I just sing names of dishes.
Oh, bolognese!
Yes! Lasagna rigatone!
I've got a friend. Jeff is adamant that they should have sent Anthony Kalia, not Jessica Mowboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But Anthony would have...
Anthony would have disappeared on that stage.
It is a big stage. Tiny. But she's not very big.
Well, no, that's true.
She's very small. But do you think maybe it was, they just went, oh, yeah, but she's like an original Australian.
Yeah.
She was a good choice, I reckon.
Yeah, I have some sympathy for the view that it should have been a European. Because
we have such a European culture.
Yeah, because our indigenous history is really important,
Anthony,
obviously.
But our
Mediterranean migrant history is also important.
I've always said Anthony should go and represent a country in Europe rather than just being our
representative. Yeah, go and do Luxembourg or Monaco or something.
Go and win Idol somewhere. And
then he came second. He doesn't need to win.
Yeah, he's not a crack.
He's just going to keep entering in countries until he wins.
Yeah.
He should.
Please welcome Ghana Idol winner, Anthony Kalia.
Ricky Lee.
Ricky
Lee. Could win Eurovision for a country.
She would do a great job for Cyprus. Cyprus always do, or Turkey, they always do a very, Ricky Lee type number.
She could belt something out.
Yeah.
Now we're listening to No Prejudice by Polaponk, who...
Iceland.
The Icelandic...
Polaponk.
They look like... The Wiggles all have day jobs as baristas.
Right.
Like, they're brightly coloured costumes, but they're all beardy and middle-aged.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Like, you know those middle-aged guys that you just go, you've been making coffee a long
forever.
Time.
Forever.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not like young guys with beards, like they're middle-aged.
Yeah, like back of the ESPY types.
One of them looks like Scott's ex-boyfriend who sings our theme song.
Wally.
Seriously?
Wow. Oh, he could do worse than looking like, I don't go out with dogs,
No, I'm not saying that.
Contrary to what Russia says, you don't go out with dogs.
No, no. I will let them fuck me, though.
Polaponk was one of those ones that I didn't like in the lead-up, but they won me over.
Really?
Last night. I thought they did a great job, and I liked them, just like Latvia and Bake a Cake.
I've got to play Bake.
Yeah, bake
that's
a cake.
Is that the name of the song?
The name of the song is I've got a cake to bake.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've got a cake to bake.
Well, it's like we've got fucking child abuse
and cake to bake.
And baking.
Baking
a
cake.
Really.
And it's
awesome.
A really irritating earworm of a song.
It's
a huge piece of shit.
It's faux folk. He's German, but he moved
to
Latvia. The ice of the polar caps found the raiders of the lost ark. He found the raiders of the lost ark.
Solved the case for the genius from Baker Street, helped to clean the Central Park.
Cleaned the Central Park.
It's dirty, apparently.
Went to desert, made it rain.
He went to the desert and made
Swam
it rain.
Swam through a shark tank, bloodily found Atlantis, by the way.
See, it makes accidentally Kelly Street today, sound like Hamlet,
yeah,
right?
It
it's, I've got no clue at all.
He hasn't done that before.
Wow. I feel like when they finished writing this song, the last words they said to each other were, "Oh, that'll do."
Right, it's a hugely frustrating piece of shit, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But they were just like they. Again, they not got it perfectly last night.
Right.
And they really
so
won me
it.
Over. Yeah, they believed that they were doing like Pink Floyd live in concert, you know? In their minds, yep. they were just like punching out art pop or something.
I love the fact that I read somewhere that, you know, they sing later on in the song, Mix the Dough, Let It Rise.
Yeah.
And we all know that cake comes from a batter.
Yeah.
Not dough.
Yeah. Yes. Well, he does say he doesn't know how to do it, so...
He's got no clue at all.
But yeah. someone pointed out to me on the Twitter when I was having a laugh about that, that apparently in Latvia, yes. or many European languages... There is no difference between dough and batter as a word. Oh. And they've just chosen the wrong one in translation.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So like they had a 50-50 chance.
The Central Park.
Yeah.
Because
that's the worst thing. It's like they write their songs often in their own language. Mm. And
get Google to do the heavy lifting.
Yeah. And native language songs very rarely win.
Yes.
Like, almost never.
Well, not in recent years.
Not in the last 15.
Not the last 15 years, but...
But, yeah, so they've just gone... And there was that time where they were forced to sing in their own language.
Yes,
for
yes.
For, like, 10 years or something.
It sort of went... That rule went in and out, yeah. Right. But for most of the 70s and 80s, they had to sing in their native language.
Yeah.
The last native language winner was probably Molitvar in Serbia in 2007.
Yeah.
It was probably that. And then before that, it would have been... Oh, gee, he'd be hard-pressed, actually.
See? ABBA.
Before that. Would have been ABBA.
Bucks Fizz. Probably Bucks Fizz.
Probably Bucks Fizz.
Sang in their own language.
In fact, do you know what? It would have been Katrina singing for the UK in 87. That would have been the... In 97, that would have been the most recent before Molitvar.
Because it was their own language.
No, Nocturne in 96, I think, was in Norwegian.
I just feel like we're talking over the, you know, the theme song for a kids' series.
You bake that fucking cake.
Yeah.
We've gone away from La Mia Città a couple of times, which is Emma Moroni from the...
From the Italia. I think it's a great number. I think Italy's come back after a couple of years off and they haven't put a foot wrong.
And she's kind of like, what if Pink and Lady Gaga had a baby?
Oh.
Yeah.
Like she's got a very...
It'd come out of an egg.
On a pole.
Yeah.
And then would kill you.
But yeah, she's kind of, I feel like the big five are all in with a chance this year, apart from France.
Moustache
by Twin.
See, this is the thing about France. They're fucking assholes.
They hate it.
They moan about it being a monument to drivel, and then they send something like moustache. You know?
Can we hear? Have we?
Oh yeah, I can moustache. We're never going to get around to Emma Moroni, poor bitch.
No,
we did have it. Did play before, but we were talking about bum sex quite voraciously.
Stop talking about bum sex during the nice music.
Right.
It's male French Kesha by the sound of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or the jingle to a place that sells fruit juices. Something healthy.
Yeah.
Something
really?
Healthy.
Yeah. Sounds a bit like an ad for a PlayStation game.
Oh, yeah.
It is, they are shuffling every day, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's the French red foo.
Yeah. Rouge foo.
Rouge foie.
Rouge foie.
I think, you know.
But they're called twin. They're not twins. Right. They are a little bit
attractive. I think there might be one set of twins in there, I think.
Then they're certainly not identical.
Well, maybe they're all twins. It's just that their sibling is not in the band.
Mate.
Maybe that's it.
I am a twin. The other one's not here.
Yeah.
But I am one.
But yeah, they're called twin. The song's called Moustache. And they're, you know the one that I think has a good chance?
Yeah.
But, again... They've had a few good songs in the last few years, and I just feel like they've really missed out because I don't know what goes on with the voting, whether they're not popular, but Spain.
Yeah, yeah. They are kind of always the bridesmaid, aren't they?
Yeah. Pastora Sola a couple of years ago was my favourite song, but eclipsed by...
I think the thing with Spain is that sometimes they send stuff that is like a little bit, not always... But sometimes they send stuff that's actually like a little bit too good, and it doesn't hook you right away. They're growers, you know.
That's my worry about the Netherlands song. Is that it is a really good song, and
every year you can see songs that are not going to win, but they're going to be like Euro classics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like middle-aged PAFTAs are going to be posting on forums about them for years to come.
This is my favorite song.
And
pastors. Like, and like in 6 weeks' time, someone will have done like the Ibiza remix that you hear at the Peel, you know. Quédate conmigo. Oof, 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 oof. Conmigo. You know, like you can hear it. You're not going to win, but they will stand the test of time.
Yeah. Do you know what really frustrated me last night? Was like a couple of times we nearly got the trifecta, but it never happened. The trifecta for me being a white outfit, a wind machine, and the keychain.
Yeah.
They do love a white outfit, don't they?
They sure do.
There was the bitch in the seashell with the white outfit and the wind machine.
Valentina Minetta from San Marino.
She just never varied that key for even a moment. Sat in there.
In fairness, she had three key changes in last year's song.
Yeah, she was.
She used them all up, I think. there are some rules about how many you can have.
She discovered the limits of her range. Yeah,
the European financial crisis, they can't afford more than three key changes every 2 years.
But this there are children in her country who don't have enough to eat because of those fucking key changes.
This is Ruth Lorenzo.
From Espana. Now, see, listen to that. That's a great song.
It's a great song.
But it's not a winning song.
You know what I think? If she has Jedward-style wet choreography.
Yes, right.
Like, the entire stage is wet and she's dancing actually in the rain.
Because there is water on the stage. There's water on the stage. Around the stage.
So
could
water,
win it. Could
water
take
can
it.
Funnel into the moat.
Yeah.
So I reckon she could win if she's wet. But...
That's the difference between her winning and not. Is that
if she's wet. She's
how wet,
wet
she's going to get.
Although, I think, I don't know if she'll maybe lose votes because she's not Spanish. She's from the... She might be from Spain originally, but she's a British X Factor contestant.
Oh, my God.
She came like seventh.
This is just smoke and mirrors, Eurovision. It's just a web of lies.
They do win, though, don't they?
Because she'll draw the UK votes. Yes. Because who are the UK going to vote for? They can't vote for themselves. Yeah. No one wants to vote for Ireland. No one wants to see that happen again.
No.
So they may as well vote
for Spain.
It's perfect. It's a great strategy.
Vote for
it's
the British
It's a really
contestant.
Great strategy. Smart thinking, Spain. Wow.
See, because you never really get to talk about the big five because then you never really see them until the day.
I think this is the disadvantage, Peter's of this view, that we should see the big five before the final.
Yeah.
Because everyone else you see twice, the big five you only see once. Yeah. So they're at a bit of a natural disadvantage. Because they don't do the semi-finals, they go straight through to the final.
Oh, because they spend so much because money, they don't have to compete in the semi-final.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's technically...
It's like dating someone hotter than you if you're richer.
Yeah.
It's technically the big six because the host country also...
Oh yeah,
they're
guaranteed.
Yeah, and they've sent. They seriously, Denmark have sent.
What are you fucking doing, Denmark?
They've sent an X Factor winner or contestant.
Oh, I think he's the fucking cleaner. He's terrible.
He's awful. But it really does smack of a country that's gone. Yeah, we don't want to do this next year.
Once we want nothing to
do with this.
Mind you, remember, like Denmark's judgment is not unimpaired. Just remember, the last time they won Eurovision, their halftime act was an aqua medley.
Wow.
They are not innocent in this. Like, they, you know, getting it and not getting it, Denmark could afford to get it a bit more, actually.
Yeah.
they not get it quite a lot.
Because,
Aqua medley sounds like something they do at Guantanamo Bay.
I was looking for emails, like talking poof for emails, to you know, just in case we decided to record more than one poofcast today, which may not happen because we're still
because this is like
this.
5 hours later. And still going.
We've been talking for over an hour.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh my God! It
we
is
may need
go
to
next
wrap
year.
It up soon. But yeah, I found an email from you last year, and it said, "I really want so and so to win, but it's." Gonna be Denmark because they've ticked all the boxes and it's a typical easy winning song.
Yeah.
And there it just stormed through.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Well, you've made a lot of predictions during this.
Yeah. And
podcast,
I stand by them.
So
I stand
we'll see
by them.
How they turn out.
It's kind of a flat year. Like, it's not one of the greatest years.
Well, there's a lot of ballad.
And it's really ballady. And I think that of those ballads, I think Sweden has got, like, it's not a perfect song, but it's pretty good.
Mm.
They're a major country. People like Sweden.
Yes,
you know.
Like. And something Scandinavian has to win.
Yes, yes. These
it
things
feels,
travel in clumps.
It feels like another Scandinavian year.
Well, they're on a run, you know. Sweden, Denmark. It makes sense to go
That's
back
why
to
I
Sweden.
Think Norway. So I think, the rags to riches story of Norway. Like,
yeah,
it's
I think
a real,
Norway is in the mix, certainly.
It just feels like a, like, you know, for the Eastern European countries, it's like, oh, you know, it's just some girl writing for her cousin. We can get behind that because it's not the big Swedish sausage factory manufacturing music.
That they do. Sweden's disadvantage is that they are one of the favourites. You know, an underdog could come from behind, you know. That is a risk. But I just think, like, on balance, taking everything into account, I just feel like it is Sweden's to lose.
Yes.
Having seen the semis last night, Sweden's to lose. I think Conchita Wurst will get a lot of the comedy, the Russian granny vote, you know. People who want to vote for just stupid,
a lady with a beard.
Stupid fucking shits.
Gays, girls and grannies.
Gays, girls and grannies. I think that the UK will do very well and they will lose their minds. And to you, UK, I say, calm down. You've come fucking fifth. Just relax. You haven't
won on the very excited about Molly being good.
Yes, well, it hasn't happened for a little while.
And apparently, I have heard from the rehearsals that she, like, the staging is spectacular.
Oh, really?
There is fire. I don't know if anyone catches on fire and gets put out by rain.
Oh.
As much as I would love that
fingers
to happen.
Crossed.
But I've heard that the staging is pretty
specky. Right.
No, just
and they're last. They're dead last.
Oh, that's the power position.
They are last in the competition.
They'll do the top five guaranteed in that case.
But just with staging, like you would know about all this stuff. Yeah. Are there kind of restrictions to how long they've got to set up? Because I know there are restrictions as to how many people they can have on stage. Mm. But what sort of, are there restrictions into you can only do this, you can only do that, or you've only got 3 minutes or whatever to get all your
There's a practical restriction because they can only, like, it goes out live.
Yeah.
So that you can't take 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's why they make those horrible, tedious postcards.
Yeah.
To cover the changes.
And that's why there are so many people in cages on wheels.
Yeah. So you can wheel them on and wheel them off. So I imagine there's no formal, there's no, like, rule about it.
But it would have to be quick.
You have the time it takes for these stupid postcards.
As long as you can hold the audience's attention with your postcard.
Who was the woman that was up on the platform?
Albania. Great song. Very, very sad to see that drop off.
Yeah, didn't even get through the semifinals.
Disappointed about that.
And she was just standing on a big plinth.
Right.
But it was a big plinth.
It was a pretty big plinth.
I don't know how they wheeled that out.
Did you say big plinth again?
Big plinth.
Well, I think
what
that's...
What is it? I just love the way you say big plinth guy. This is like my obsession. Like when during my comedy festival show, I was obsessed with the word snippets.
Right.
Snippets.
Because you can't say snippets
of a big plinth.
Butch way.
You can't say snippets.
Snippets. Like Scott Cam can't say snippets.
Snippets.
Here's Lysandra with a snippet of what happened yesterday.
She's building a big plinth.
You know what? You can't say bubbles angrily either.
Bubble.
Bob. Bubbles.
Bubbles. Bring me another bottle of bubbles. Grunty could say bubbles.
Bubbles. Bubbles. Bubbles, bubbles, bubbles.
I think this has fallen apart.
I think we're at the tail end of...
Go and blow some bubbles, you fucking plinth.
Call me a gay piece of shit so I can press stop.
You gay piece of shit.
This has been the Poofcast.
Oh. We're here.